Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, around 200,000 people aged 45 to 49 could be fully vaccinated against COVID-19 next month if the HSE is given permission to change restrictions around the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The HSE is believed to be asking if this age restriction around the one-shot vaccine can be lowered from 50, as it currently is, to 45. And I'm joined now by Professor of Immunology at DCU, Christine Loscher. Good morning to you.
Morning, Claire.
Thank you very much for joining us. So this would mean that 200,000 doses of the one-shot jab, which might end up surplus and not being used under the existing age limit, could be administered to people between the ages of 45 and 49. What do you think of this idea?
I think it's a great idea. I think it's really showing that, you know, the institutions that we're working with, the HSE, NIAC, the government, everyone is responding all the time to the changes that are happening. So not just the science, but also the supply. So if you remember when we spoke last week, we talked about other age groups having access to vaccines. And, you know, the clever thing to do is to look at how many vaccines we have and who's the most suitable people to give them to. And, you know, when you look at the science and the data, there's very little that really distinguishes between 45 to 49 year olds and the 50 to 59 year old cohort when it comes to Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah,
in fact, any of the data, and most of it's come out of the US where they predominantly use Johnson & Johnson from the very start, and they've probably given over 10 million doses by the end of April. Most of the data showed that actually those in their 30s in that kind of cohort were probably most at risk, because they have very little data, because probably only about 15 people had had an adverse blood clot event at that stage. And that was after about 10 million vaccines.
I just wonder, though, NIAC made their decision. What has changed in terms of the data since that decision was made in order to allow NIAC now to shift the goalpost to 45?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that happened last week was about, you know, the wiggle room in terms of what vaccine we give to what cohort. And, you know, what they did at the start was, you know, the right thing to do, which was to prioritise vaccines for different cohorts, depending on the data that we had, but also to be able to allow for wiggle room to change that depending on access to vaccines, and also to look at the data around safety. And there isn't a huge issue around safety for that 40 something cohort when it comes to which all those decisions were made on the adverse event that was around the blood clotting. And the data doesn't really show that there's any higher risk for that age group than the over 50s. There was obviously an error on the side of caution in terms of what they would do for that age group. But now that we have supply, there's nothing really that would stand in the way of giving that to the 45 to 49 year olds in terms of risk.
I want to ask you what you think about these off-the-shelf rapid antigen tests. So much criticism of them over the weekend. Professor Philip Nolan tweeting that these antigen tests will not keep you safe. What do you think about going to the supermarket to buy a kit of these things?
So I think they have their place. You know, I think the messaging really needs to be very important around this. And I think that one of the risks around freely available antigen testing is people not being able to use them properly, people not interpreting the results properly, and also a risk that people will think that they have a safe pass if they have a negative, and actually will stop doing all the other things. Where they are useful, Claire, is around providing a degree of reassurance. I think people probably don't understand the difference between an antigen test and a PCR test. And antigen testing, you probably won't get a false positive, but you'll have a fairly good chance of getting a false negative. And that's because depending on the stage somebody has of infection, in other words, the virus replicates for quite some time, like a number of days in the body before it actually causes any symptoms. Mm-hmm. And for those few days, you can be contagious, but you may not have enough virus for an antigen test to detect.
So it might
be
missed.
That's the biggest risk of using them.
So just to give you an example of how someone might use this, I decide to have a big barbecue in my garden. I invite all of my friends and I say to them, take an antigen test before you come so we can make sure we're all safe. Everyone gets a negative and I have 25 people out the back having their sausages and burgers. Everybody thinks they're safe, but they might not be.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest issue is that if somebody thinks they're safe, so you get 25 people to come, which I'm not sure whether you can do that with the guidelines.
No,
Claire.
I'm breaking every rule here, but we'll just take it as
exactly.
an example.
So the problem is that if somebody actually does have virus, a low level and is contagious, the problem is that everybody at the barbecue, if they think they're all safe, they won't social distance, they won't use masks inside. They may kind of like let things slip in terms of hand sanitizing, sharing of implements, sharing of food, sharing of bathrooms. And that's where the risk is about how reliant somebody will become on that result and what behavioral change they will have as a result of it and what that might lead to. So that's where the risk is. I think most people, if they use it in the way that it's meant, which is a degree of reassurance. So, for example, people are going to be allowed to go and see their grandparents now. Having an antigen test to give you a reassurance that you're okay, even though grandparents are now all vaccinated, that reassurance, I think, is very useful. I think antigen testing has a place, but I think that it's just people need to be careful about how much they rely on that result and what happened as a consequence.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme, Professor Christine Loscher there from DCU. Coming up in just a moment, we'll be talking about the people who are maybe anxious, a little bit worried about getting back to normal life with Sabina Brennan.